Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for the September 14th, 2023. Have your host, James J. here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Jasmine Carbajal, 4-H Associate Educator with Marathon and Wood Counties. Right now, we have with us our good friend, Jim Benna. He is the District Administrator at Ed Hoyer Elementary School Principal and Port Edward School District. Jim, thanks for being here.
It's great to be here, James. Thanks for having me today.
I appreciate the time. You know, we were joking in our pregame. We only get together once a year and everything.
Yes.
We got to make a habit out of this. We got to get you back every year. It's fun to do this. We are in the beginning of the school year. Before we dive into your new role or some of the goals there and some of the happenings of the district, how is the beginning of the school year feeling so far?
It's feeling great, James. We had a school board meeting last night, and as I shared with our school board members, some of our stakeholders, there's a lot of energy in our school buildings. There's a lot of positivity, a lot of enthusiasm. Of course, we went through the COVID period, and there was so much uncertainty. There was so much unknown. Although there is some illness that's going on in our school districts right now, we feel for the most part that's in our rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone just has a lot of optimism, feeling really good. Our school district is fully staffed. We have very nice class sizes. We have a lot of great extracurriculars taking place. So, there's a lot of good things happening in our school district.
I've said before, I don't think there's anything stronger in the universe than the human spirit. And I don't think there's anything more adaptable than kids. Kids are so adaptable. And while I don't take that lightly, I commend and I admire that. I think we adults could actually learn a little bit from kids when it comes to that. I do worry, and I know I'm not alone on that one. We are a couple of years removed from COVID and everything, but mm-hmm. There is still not so much a concern of that, but just a concern of how the kids are doing. Are we at a place now where we're kind of they're feeling more and more comfortable now? Like last year was there a little bit. Now we're a little bringing it home and even more. They're feeling even more comfortable in school in that?
I think so, James. Mm. I think so. I'm sensing much more security, less anxiety in our school district. And going back to your first point, our children are extremely flexible. Mm. They're flexible. They're resilient. I think resilient is a good word with our children, and we've seen them overcome so much during COVID. Mm-hmm. There is certainly some learning loss that took place, and that's well documented in the media. Some learning loss took place in the Port Edward School District. We are working very hard to address mm-hmm. that. We have multiple interventionists that we have newly hired over the last few years, mm-hmm. and those academic interventionists are working with our students who have been identified through assessments, and we are actively engaging with those students to improve their academic mm-hmm. scores. We're not seeing a significant amount of learning loss, but we want to identify it as quickly as we can, intervene, and help our children move forward for the best outcome possible.
Yeah. Now that's the kind of stuff I would like to see the mass media covering.
Absolutely.
We don't hear about that.
Absolutely.
We don't hear about these assists, this help that's going on behind the scenes like that. That's not only really smart, it made me feel good hearing that. Like, mm-hmm. As somebody who, I'm one of these weirdo that cares about the future and these kids mm-hmm. and everything. So, yeah, that seems pretty cool. That's great.
You know, unfortunately, that probably doesn't sell the papers, right? That's the old old adage. James, if you came into our buildings, I think you would be inspired. You mm-hmm. would see great things happening, because one of our mantras in Port Edwards is everyone is a teacher. Mm. And whether you work in the kitchen, whether you drive a bus, whether you are a classroom aide, a teacher, an administrator, a custodian, clerical staff, we all work with children. We all try to make them maximize their potential, show them hope in the world. We are their biggest supporters. We're their biggest cheerleaders. We're their biggest advocates. So you would see amazing things mm. happening in our school district every day. And as you said, unfortunately, those don't get the headlines,
yeah,
right? It's the bad stuff. It's the tragedies. It's the unfortunate things. And when people see that day after day after day, I think sometimes people think, what's going on in our public schools? Mm. Those are a lot of one-offs, really. They truly are. I see from being in our schools, there are great things happening every day. And I'm very proud and very happy to be here today to share some of those.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to cover those stories. We will always cover those stories here WFHR. When it comes to the beginning of the school year, it's not just new for kids and parents and you and your staff, but us as citizens, we have to keep our eyes open a little bit more. Like, you should already, you know, be looking out for kids and everything, but now a little bit more so. Are there other things that you, from your perspective, think that we as citizens, as adults, should be doing at this time of year as we're all getting used to this, you know, the new schedules?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this time of year, you know, one of the first things that just pops to mind is as everyone is driving to work each day on their morning commute, just be aware there are children walking to school, riding their bikes. We have school buses in transit. Please use caution. Everyone wants to get to work, and it seems like a lot of people are in a mad scramble in the morning. Please be very cautious around our school buses. Please take just an extra moment of time to look out for those stop arms, to take your time. If everyone uses just a bit more caution around our school buses and around our children as they come and go to school, it'll be a much safer community.
Mm-hmm. I know we have Craig Broren, our superintendent, on all the time, and Craig and I have talked about a couple of different things, unfortunately, year after year that he's joined us, and one of them is looking for school bus drivers. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to send that out there just as we have the segue into it. You know, we're still looking for great bus drivers out there, and it's a great profession and a great way to, I don't know, I know I've talked to a couple of school bus drivers over the years, and one of the most consistent things they say is how young they feel doing it. Mm-hmm. How much they enjoy being around the kids. That I had one bus driver tell me, my bosses are all children. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a really good line. I thought that was really good. And,
absolutely.
They enjoy that. I encourage people to look into that more.
It's a, you know, James, it's a bit of a national issue. There, people have a hard time, are having a hard time finding bus drivers nationwide, which is really sad. We contract our busing service through Lamers here in Wisconsin mm-hmm. Rapids, and I make a point of walking out to those buses in the morning and the afternoon, and I shake the hands. This past week or so, I've been shaking the hands of our bus drivers, introducing myself, welcoming them, telling them, you're a part of our team.
Yeah.
We are all here for our children, and we have great people driving our buses, and I really do think that, you know, just like classrooms, there are issues from time to time, but being around children, there is something that's priceless. We are helping them. We are supporting them, and those smiles on their faces and those connections, and you see the relationships building. It's really a great job to do.
Yeah. It's one of those things that I imagine fills your cup all the time.
It does.
It's got to.
I
want to get to some of the happenings going on over in the district. Let's go with that.
Sure. Absolutely. The major thing that's happening outside of our school district right now, or outside of our classroom walls, rather, is we will be going to referendum in April of 2024. This past spring, we partnered with CESA 10, and we have developed a facilities committee. We've had two facilities committee meetings. These committees consist of 25 individuals, about 20 people from our community, from the school district, five staff or so, and we've done extensive tours of both buildings. And we have a 90-year-old high school. We have about a 55-year-old elementary. And unfortunately, the funding from the state, while we've been able to maintain our buildings as best as we can, some of the major things, the heating units, some of the masonry work, we have a beautiful brick building at the high school. It needs some extensive work that our state aid just can't fund right now. So our facilities committee has identified some of those things. We had a facilities meeting on August 22nd. We had one just this past Monday night on September 11th. We have identified that in next April, we will be looking at a $7 million capital referendum. Capital referendum is for major building and grounds projects. Mm-hmm. Our state aid allows us to do minor building and grounds projects. Unfortunately, state aid has not kept up with the needs of school districts. This will be the second referendum that the Port Edward School District has gone to in the last 50 years only. We feel like we have been very good stewards of the taxpayers' funds in Port Edwards. The last one, we did one in 2018. Prior to that, it was 1968.
Wow.
So we have really worked to keep our buildings, keep our staffing, keep our programming with what we've been given unfortunately, the state aid and how it's been, the formula has been developed in Madison, is not giving us the financial ability to stay up with all of those costs. So therefore, we are looking at going to referendum in April of 2024, a capital referendum for large-scale maintenance needs, and then an operational referendum, which is for our daily purposes.
We've seen, unfortunately, in recent years, some smaller schools in smaller areas have to close down.
Yes.
Whether it is because of the facility not having the funding to stay open or the building itself just not being reliable or that. Mm-hmm. We don't want that to happen to any more schools, let alone in our own neck of the woods here and everything.
Absolutely.
With Port Edwards.
Yeah.
Are there things we as citizens can do to help with this?
Absolutely. I just think if you could educate yourselves, if you could go to the Port Edwards School District website, pesd.k12.wi.us. Later this fall, I would say by November, we will be having a link on that website that will present all types of educational information about how school funding works in more detail than I'm giving here today, why there's a need for a referendum, the actual impact on property taxes. And I just think if our populace and our community members can educate themselves and then go out and vote. Go out and vote next April, because it really is a choice of our citizens. Do they want to continue to have robust programming in Port Edwards, an outstanding staff, excellent programming, excellent extracurriculars, which we have been known for decades and decades? That's going to go to the polls in early April.
Yeah. Great answer. I couldn't agree with you more. Do your homework. Find out who you're voting for and what they believe in. And please help us support our education system.
Absolutely.
I don't believe I have to say that, but what an interesting world it would be if we put even a quarter of our budget into this, and just a little bit more, even, let alone not even asking that much, just a bit more to be able to help some of these things. And I would love to see a shift when it comes to this, as far as instead of always tickering and taking away little chip by chip at our education system and our funding for it, to add little by little to it and everything. It's pretty important. You mentioned earlier the documentation of the hits that our kids took during COVID, and we've seen the numbers of that. Mm-hmm. You can't talk out of that side of your mouth and then at the other side be cutting funding for it. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
And to the person that wants to, and james.mailf@civicmedia.us, you can go ahead and email me anytime if you don't like what I'm saying. I welcome your feedback. But to me, there is not even a question about this. If I'm going into the voting booth and it says this, I've done my homework already, I'm voting for it. This is our future we're talking about. These are their kids we're talking about.
Absolutely.
There's literally nothing more important than this. Everything we're all doing as adults, it all is about this. Even
Absolutely.
If you don't have kids, even if you don't even think about the public education system, you are a part of it. And as if I could just get one more thing before I get off my soapbox.
You're doing a great job. You're doing
I don't
a great
want to
job.
Fall off the soapbox. But to the person that is worried about paying more in taxes, you're going to pay taxes. Your taxes are always going to rise and fall. And it's going to be an up and a down. But don't you feel a lot better about having that more percentage, knowing that it's going into this? That's what taxes are about, investing in our future, investing in in either the future of our infrastructure or the future of our world.
Mm-hmm. You hit so many great points there, James. I, of course, as an educator, I couldn't agree with you more, but this is our society. This is our society, right? And it's very unfortunate that we are one of the only entities in government that has to go and ask taxpayers for the money that we need instead of having it, not having to go through all these extra hoops to get that funding. Mm. So, no, I couldn't agree with you more. Every individual that you meet in society here has gone through our school system, whether public or private. We have all benefited from our school system. We are largely who we are today as a result of our school system. So I believe that we have an obligation to pay it forward as adults, to pay that forward and continue to have great schools here in Wisconsin, which we have been known for decades. We continue to have great schools here. However, I think you use the term kind of chipping away at our funding and things like that, that's been happening since 1993. That's 30 years ago now, James.
Yeah.
So as the funding has slowly been shipped away from our public schools, we are having to cut staffing here, cut benefits there. We have to cut. And everyone does that from time to time in their household. I often compare a school budget to a household. There are some similarities there. There are times when we have to tighten our belt. There are times when we have to spend a little less. There are times when we have what we need. For 30 years, school districts have been tightening their belt and cutting away and cutting away. And at some point, you lose value in what you have. So I think everything we've talked about over the last 5 or 10 minutes here, funding our public schools, it has to be a priority.
Another, just one last note on this, that if a big part of the conversation right now is keeping people in state or bringing new people into the state, that is a big conversation from small town to big town. How many people are moving to a city or a state that they're not putting into the school system? How many young families are going to go to that? What's one of the first things you're doing if you're looking at a new house or in a new city? What's the school system like?
James, I've been contacted by families. They have been in our community for less than 48 hours, and I get a phone call. Can we get a tour of the school? We are deciding where to put our children.
Yeah.
And yeah, and sometimes and oftentimes that call happens before they actually buy a house or choose an apartment. They want to know what the school looks like. They want to get a feel for the school. Will their child be safe there? Is there a robust education there? Yeah, you're absolutely right. That choice of school, if it's a good school district, will either attract people or have people move out of the area. Mm-hmm. All too often, Wisconsin move out of state.
We're speaking with Jim Benna from the Port Edward School District. And Jim, what are some of the goals for this year that you and your staff have?
Sure, absolutely. We want to continue to make the Port Edward School District the best small school district in the state. We want to attract and retain outstanding educators and continue to develop our academic programs. Of course, I mentioned in some detail our upcoming capital and operational referendums. We want to do the work leading up to that in April, primarily to address our aging facilities. We want to promote the positive culture that we have in our district and our community throughout central Wisconsin in order to continue to make Port Edwards a school of choice. James, I want to hit on Port Edwards as being somewhat of a hidden gem here in central Wisconsin. Very often, of course, I hear conversation, even socially, so much about where parents send their children. And I hear the term, they're just a number. I hear that so often in a bigger school district. They say, well, I don't want my kid to go to a bigger school district because they're just a number. Mm. Our bigger public school districts do an excellent job. But unfortunately, at times it does become a numbers game.
Yeah.
That is not the case in Port Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
We have the best of both worlds. We offer a large number of extracurriculars. We offer a great drama program, great forensics program, student leadership, instrumental music, choral music. We have many of the academic, extracurricular, and athletic programs that big school districts have on small teams and small groups. That means everybody gets an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes children, if they're in a larger school district, they may feel intimidated if there are 40, 50, 60 kids out for a team or a group. We have a smaller school district. They feel comfortable. They are known by each teacher. We have individualized instruction. So we really feel like we have the best of both worlds, and we have a lot to offer here in the Port Edward School District.
Hmm. Well said. You have a new role that I wanted to ask you about. Can you tell us a little about that?
Sure. This school year, we have had a bit of an administrative change. I am serving in a dual role this year. Last year was my first year in the district as district administrator. I'm also serving this year as the elementary principal. And in my prior administrative position in the Marion School District, I had 8 years of experience as the elementary principal and superintendent in a very similar size school district here in Wisconsin as well. So I'm bringing those skills to Ed Hoyer Elementary as well. And again, we are about 8 days into the school year, and I couldn't be more pleased or more happy to be the building leader at Ed Hoyer Elementary School. Seeing the smiles and the energy and the positivity of our young children, it just brings a smile to my face, and it warms our hearts. So I love that dual role.
I can feel it from you. I get the vibe just even talking to you and seeing you and everything. It's all over your face, and it's so cool to see. And I'm really happy for you with it. How is it? Is it at all affecting your other gig? Not interfering, but how are you mixing the worlds together?
Sure, absolutely. I think it comes down to scheduling and prioritizing. I don't believe that I have cut anything out. We have great people around us. We have incredible administrative assistants at both buildings that give me assistance with different tasks and things like that. And I think it comes down to prioritizing and scheduling.
We wanted to kind of spend the last couple of minutes we have together, Jim, kind of talking about the Port Edwards School District and it being a destination school. Mm-hmm. I love that terminology, and I want to give the floor to you for this.
Mm. Absolutely. It is a destination school, and I'm going to go back and repeat some of the things I said before, but we do have individualized instruction. Mm-hmm. We have incredible educators in small class sizes. An average class, it's not strange to see a class of 12 to 15 students. And when you are in a classroom with 12 to 15 children for 180 days with a highly skilled educator, you are going to develop a lot of knowledge. You're going to develop a lot of interpersonal skills. You're going to have a robust education. So we have small class sizes. The community of Port Edwards has incredible pride in its school district. We are supported by a number of outside organizations. They support us. We have booster clubs. We have parent organizations. We have a connection through UW Stevens Point, the HARU Center for Academics. They are supporting Port Edwards Schools. So there's great support for our district. We have great leadership. We have great teachers. We have small class sizes. It truly is a destination school district.
Yeah, there's I only went to school for a little while here in grade school, and then most of my education out here was in middle school, high school.
Sure.
But when I was going to school over at Washington, I heard parents and people talking about Port Edwards, and that was years ago because I'm old. It was a while ago, but I remember the area being talked about even then. And as far as how the time that has passed since then, it's only gotten stronger. It only seems to not only the school itself, but the schools in the Port Edwards area, but the community has gotten stronger and everything. So when it comes to, destination school, if my kids were younger and in that area, God, I'd be very happy for them to be going there. One of the things that I think, too, that stands out about the Port Edwards School District to me is the something you've touched on a little bit here is the ability for teacher and student to know each other's name. Mm-hmm. It seems so simple, and it seems like something that we all grew up with. Even I, coming from the cities, had teachers that knew my name from time to time, but not all of them did. And in this district, you've got that. You've got an ability and at least an opportunity for that. And I think that a lot of people can hear that and, quite easily make the, that means a little more one-on-one time for the kid. And yes, that helps them learn a little bit better, sure. But it's also for the teacher, when you've got, as a parent, I don't know how I made it with two kids. I don't know how they do this half the time. I teach adults and I can't do it. Like, I don't know how you teach kids half the time.
It's not easy, James.
It can't be.
It's a skill. It certainly is.
When it's a little bit less kids, say there's 16, 20 kids in a classroom or something like that, when that one kid is struggling, when that one kid is having a tough time, whether it is with, at home or it's the study, the thing that they're studying, the teacher is able to catch it quicker. The teacher is able to work with them better. It makes it so much easier for everybody involved. Mm-hmm. And the idea of being able to send your kid to a school like that seems pretty nice.
James, I'm impressed daily. And a term that I use in the district and teachers, any teachers or staff who may be listening have heard me say this many times, it's the all hands on deck mentality. Mm-hmm. If a child is struggling academically, struggling socially, if they have any type of problems, I am just blown away every day by how our staff rallies around that child. They communicate, they email, they have little mini meetings together. How can we help this child? How can we help them socially? They identify the problems, they talk about it, and there is help for each and every student in the Port Edward School District. And that individualized attention, it really helps our students grow. It really prevents children from, you know, slipping through the proverbial cracks. And the all hands on deck mentality really provides a great education for our students.
Jim Benna joining us from the district administrator and Ed Hoyer Elementary School principal. Jim, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we discussed today, how can they reach you?
Absolutely. If you look at the Port Edward School District website, you will see my contact information near the bottom. James Bina, I'm the district administrator and elementary principal. It should be easy to find on the Port Edward School District website. That is PESD.K12.WI.US.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I did was threw it in my search engine, Port Edward School, and it popped up right away. So if that's another way of doing it too, and reach out to Jim and his team. And thank you again for the time, sir. Always appreciate it. Have a great school year.
Thank you so much, James. It's been a pleasure. I enjoyed being here today with you. Thanks.
If we don't talk sooner, I'll see you next year.
Sounds see
you next
great.
Year at the same time.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here on WFHR.